If I can have your attention here in the media center, we are now joined by the winning driver of tonight's Cookout 400, Austin Dillon. I know folks may have a few questions for Austin. If you want to raise your hand, we'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start with Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. First off, have you seen a replay of the last lap? And I don't know if you need to.
I mean,
can you take me through it and what kind of you were thinking or trying to do? And if what happened was what you were actually trying to do, or if there was...
I mean, I was just trying to get to him. I went into turn three in fifth gear and drove in, tried to get him loose, and got him up the track. I got the car downshifted, and the car actually turned pretty good when I did that. And then when I was coming back left, the 11 was coming, and that was just kind of a reaction. The 22 was, you know, was trying to get him loose. But the 11 was more just a reaction, and I wasn't lifting at that point because I was more looking at where the 22 was. When the 11 came across, it was, you know, it was just a reaction.
So did you mean to hit the 11, or did you?
I mean, it was a reaction. That's the best way I can say it. You know what I mean? Like, meaning to in that moment. What do you think the sports science would be? It'd be like, what? It was super fast, you know? So the mean to was definitely to move the 22. The rest just was whatever my body did.
Trey Lyle, frontstretch.com. Austin, I asked both RC and your crew chief this. Was this your best performance, you think, like in whole from start of the weekend through the race in your Cup Series? And they tended to say yes.
I would say, yeah. I mean, to fire off P1 in practice, we didn't panic ever throughout the weekend. We made solid adjustments, made adjustments that were meaningful for our car. I feel like we were the best car on the yellow tire, and that's what got us able to get to the front. I mean, we were the best car when it got darker on the yellow tire. That's point blank what it was. I passed Joey and the 11 clean and drove a straightaway away. And then with two to go, lap cars wrecked. And on the red tire, I'd say we were probably a fourth or fifth place car. A little too tight to take off. But, you know, it was a situation where we had a shot to go to victory lane and change our whole entire season.
Go next to Jordan, and then the Chris, and then the Tim.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. There are some people saying that NASCAR should intervene here and take the win away because of how this unfolded. Your reaction to that?
I've seen Denny and Joey make moves that have been, you know, running people up the track to win. This is the first opportunity in 2 years for me to be able to get a win. I drove in there and kept all four tires turning across the start-finish line. And, you know, to me, I've seen a lot of stuff over the years in NASCAR where people move people, and it's just part of our sport. You know what I mean? Remember when, you know, Joey said short track racing. He knows what it was. I mean, in your shoes, what would you do?
Unvarnished aggressiveness, good for NASCAR in this kind of, you know, where you're willing to crash a guy to win?
I don't know, man. It's just the rules of the sport, right? Like, you know, it is what it is. Wins get you into the next round. I did what I had to do to cross the start-finish line first. As far as good for the sport, I heard they were trending number one on Twitter right now. So, I don't know. People must be viewing it right now. So, that's good.
Go to your left, Chris.
Chris Powell, Couch Coach Live. Austin, congratulations. Coming into this race, you were 32nd in points. You vault up now to 13th, and you're in prime position for a playoff spot. Just talk about just today's race and just the season-defining win for you.
I'm just proud of our guys, the never-quit attitude. Truthfully, really proud of our pit crew. They crushed it tonight, and we haven't given them opportunity to have that much pressure on them. And I guess they had an average of a 9.7 pit stop. Yeah, they came to play today. And they gave me the opportunity to be where I needed to be on the last lap to make it happen. So, my pit crew did an awesome job, and team did, and, you know, the car was capable of winning the race. And that was our one shot, I feel like, we've had all year, and we were able to go to victory lane.
We're going to go to Tim, then to Matt.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Day. Austin, congrats on the win. Regardless of the outcome, when you look at the big picture, your team's had a lot of struggles this season, and you guys have had a lot of changes. Just how big is it to put your team in a playoff situation when it's all said and done, considering everything that's happened this year?
Man, I tell you, with about 100 to go, 80 to go, it was very hard for me to not get emotional in the race car. It's been rough the last 2 years. And for me to see the front and race with two of the best guys in the sport and prove that I can do it when given the opportunity, it was hard for me not to go to, like, get upset in the car. I had to keep my shit together, to tell you the truth. This stuff ain't easy, and I won championships in the Truck Series and Xfinity Series. I'm sure there's many people out there that have wanted my head to get out of the three car for a long time. But I'm fortunate I have a great family, great partners at RCR. And when given that shot, you know, you just got to take it. And like I said, it was hard for me to keep it together with like 80 to go. And I kind of got my shit together. And because Denny was right there and he was running a good race, and he kept trying to run the line that I was running. And if you notice, my line's a lot lower than most on the front stretch here. I enter hard and low and keep the car rotating around that yellow line. And it seems to help me in the long run. And I kind of found that in 2020, and we had a car capable of winning that race, and I sped on pit road. So was able to not make any mistakes and get to victory lane.
And to follow up with that, I think about a lot of your crazy victories throughout your career, obviously the 500. Yeah. And then I think about that Xfinity race back in 2016 where Kyle cuts down the tire and Suarez runs out of gas. Would you consider this to be one of the wildest wins of your career?
Has to be, you know. I don't know why that God puts me in certain situations to have crazy finishes, but I'm thankful for it. Sorry for all the ones that probably don't like me. I love you either way. It's a part of our sport, and I'm thankful for the sport so we can entertain a lot of people.
We'll go to Matt and then to Nate.
Matt Weaver, Sports Night. You're no stranger as a longtime stock car driver to controversy and trade and paint, and also as a student of the game. So I'm curious, with all that in mind, how do you roll into Michigan next week, knowing that there might be eyes on you, or there might be people who want to talk to you, or then you take the green flag, and there could be, you know, consequences for that? I mean, do you now feel the weight of knowing that you've got to carry that for the next however long?
Feel it every week when you're running 34th or 15th or 10th, no matter what. You know, it's just the pressure that we are put under to keep a job, to keep our partners happy, keep our teammates, our company rolling. That pressure never goes away. It's a weight that everybody carries in this garage. Not one guy out there that's running in these cars doesn't put a lot of pressure on themselves to perform. So I'm going to enjoy the moment. I got my baby girl to victory lane today. First time she's been to victory lane. I told Justin when he came to crew chief, man, I got one goal. I want to get back to victory lane with Blaze. It's my second kid, and Ace was able to go to victory lane at Daytona. So getting her to victory lane means the world to me. And yeah, I'm satisfied.
That's actually a perfect segue to my follow-up that I was going to ask anyway. When you're kind of, you know, getting your teeth kicked in a little bit, and I've heard you say at multiple points of your career, you know, we've got to work on this, we've got to make it better, then there's a high and then another low. I'm curious, does a win like this possibly change the trajectory of your career? Does it kind of revitalize you to go from, you know, 32nd in points to the top 16? I mean, does it remotivate you that this is what you're supposed to do?
Well, I tell you, my motivation has never wavered in 2 years. I've probably put more work in the last 2 years than I have in my entire Cup career. Going to the simulator every week at Chevrolet, working with Josh Wise, working with my guys, trying to understand how to communicate the best I can. As far as can it revitalize my career, and I don't know, you know, I think that's God's plan, whatever happens next, you know. I think outside of the race car, my life is in the best place it's been in a really long time, and that's good. And I think that, I think, you know, a good example is Martin Truex. He's a Hall of Fame race car driver. He's retiring this year at 34. His career stats look very similar to mine. And from that point on, he was on a rocket ship forward, moving forward. So you know, maybe it is a projectile, and if it isn't, I'm going to support RCR in any way possible, and I'm going to keep racing as hard as I can. And you know one thing, when I'm in the race car, I'm going to give it 100%, and you can't question that.
We'll go to Nate, and then we'll go to Jeffrey.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. I have two, Austin. First, the final restart, there was some surprise you didn't take the outside. Any regrets on that, looking back? Or?
I thought the 22 kind of left a little early, to tell you the truth. He beat me to the line, so he kind of had the edge going anyways. I don't know. I think the last two races have been won from the bottom. That's what they told me. The Reds seemed to had more grip on maybe the outside. That might have been a shot, but I know Joey also usually is eight tires is better than four, right? He might have moved me up the track, you know what I mean? He was really aggressive when I was racing him earlier in the night, just kind of pinning my line down and just racing me hard. So I know either one of those two guys, given the opportunity to bump, move, it can change, you know. I've seen them both do it. So it's one of those things where the bottom was the best guarded place probably.
And you said it, I mean, you drive the three car. The guy who made the three car famous won a few races the way you won tonight. You know, your grandfather comes on the radio immediately and says, I'm proud of you. We know how much he loved Dale Earnhardt. How much was that in the back of your mind? Or is that in the back of your mind in a situation like this, thinking about, like, you're driving the car that Dale Earnhardt made famous and for the guy who made Dale Earnhardt what he was?
It never crossed my mind, to tell you the truth. It happened that way, and yeah, I've seen a lot of races with Dale, you know, moving guys, pissing people off, you know, and a lot of people booed him throughout his career. And I think Kyle Busch is the closest thing that we've had to a Dale Earnhardt Sr., and I'm not that. I'm Austin Dillon, and I'm just going to try hard, and when I get an opportunity, I'm going to give it everything I got, and that's literally what that was, that last lap. Didn't have anything else in my mind. Didn't matter what anybody said to me, did. That was the one shot I felt like I had, and I thought I did a good job getting it in there about as deep as I had all night and not spinning out myself.
Jeffrey?
Jeffrey Runka, Motorsports Today. Earlier in April, you made a crew chief change to bring back Justin. What has he not only brought back, you know, since April, but what did he bring back certainly in this race that you may have not had before?
There's just a calmness to Justin. He does a very good job of getting the best out of me, I think. I trust him. He trusted me. The camaraderie between the two of us. He knows that I'm trying to do the most, and sometimes he's got to tell me, hey, get out of the trailer. Shut up. It's our turn to go to work. And over the years, I've just learned to trust him. And our engineer, Joel, all the guys have done a great job.
Do we have additional questions for Austin Dillon? We're going to go to Lee Spencer, then to Bob.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio, and CatchFence.com. You talked about, you know, being kicked in the teeth and people questioning whether you should be driving. Have you ever had moments of doubt yourself, and what do you do when those moments hit you?
I don't have any doubts. You have doubts. You go through stretches where it's like, man, am I letting everybody down around me? And just got to stay prayed up, stay in your faith, and keep the people that are closest to you around you telling you that you got it, you can do this. And we've seen you do it before. We just got to put you in the right situation. So, yeah, when it gets hard, you just got to lean on the people around you and the good Lord above.
What are the changes that they made? RC's talked about changes, and your crew chief talked about changes. What are the changes that were made, you know, going into this stretch here?
Tell you the truth, I don't know. I enjoyed my vacation. I went to the sim session like we do every week. It was a good sim session. And, you know, as far as Keith Rodden moving into a competition role, I think that's been good. You know, we've gotten some good things going in the right direction, I think. And I think you'll see more of that to come, hopefully.
Go next to Bob, and then we'll go to Peter.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. You said you did what you had to do. Is there anything that's out of bounds, you know, on a final lap? With this format? I mean, with the way it is?
I don't know, Bob. I got in there. I got Joey loose. I downshifted to come back left, and 11's coming across. I'm just wide open at that point when he comes across, you know, trying to get the start-finish line first. I don't know, bud.
Peter.
Peter Sprott, TSJ Sports. A few minutes ago, you mentioned the 2020 race here that you were in position to win. What are other losses that stick in your mind in the Cup Series? Off the top of my head, I can think of a few at Michigan since that's coming up.
Yeah, Michigan, we've had some good cars in the past. One, I got almost flipped upside down by Brad Keselowski in the start, at the start-finish line, wrecked. But I don't know. You can look. Oh, the biggest one would be Charlotte, Coke 600. I made an awesome move on a restart, full send it into three and four, three wide off of four, and got hooked across the start-finish line. That's a great example, right? Like, it's racing. I was going for it that night, the Coke 600. I end up head-on into the fence, you know? Whether somebody meant to do it or not, it's racing. Shit happens. And I've been on the opposite end of the stick multiple times in my career. Obviously, I just mentioned one. Head-on into the fence a lot of times, wrecked. It happens in this sport. And it's, you know, it's aggressive. It's what it is.
Go next to Davey, and then we'll right with Michael.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Austin, there's a lot of stuff going around online right now about some radio communication that happened on your channel. Think it was your spotter, don't know for sure, said, wreck him, don't know if it was about Denny or Joey. I guess by your facial expression, you didn't hear that or were conscious of that.
Dude, at that point, I'm elbows up, holding the throttle down, just trying to get the start-finish line, literally. I'm sideways off of four because I'm already three-quarters of the lane up the track, hammer the gas, and I'm just looking at the start-finish line. That's it. I ain't hearing shit at that point. You know, your eyes turn red. You see red, you get to the end of the race. Daytona, last lap, when I won there at the 500, your eyes see red. There's one thing on your mind. Get to the start-finish line first, period. No matter if anybody came on the radio, it doesn't matter. Like, you have one job to do, to get the start-finish line first. That maybe can answer your question, Bob. A lot of people lose their jobs because they don't get the start-finish line first.
Go to your right to Michael.
Michael Massey, Front Stretch. A couple of years ago, that Daytona win, that was a situation where Reddick was locked in already and you needed to get that win. Does the focus now shift to getting Kyle in these playoffs and getting that win streak to continue for him?
Heck yeah, we got to get the 8 car rolling. Kyle is a big part of our organization, and he's got some good tracks left, you know, Michigan, Darlington. So whatever it takes to get the 8 car in would be huge. We're going to get after it as best we can.
Well, Austin, congratulations on the win tonight, and good luck next week in Michigan.
Thank you.